Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Or there's Twitter, at Fred Fowler. Today it's at the underscore Jermaine. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. Should also follow Whitmire's Distillery while we're here. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And Jermaine Every filling in today for A.J. Hoffman. And doing a great job so far. So far, good grade. But two more hours to go, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to answer one poker question. Somebody says, hey, Fred, what calculation do you use to size your pre-flop raises? Is it always based on pot size? Generally, but it depends. I mean, how many players are behind me? How many players are already in the pot? How much do I really want action versus how much am I trying to force people out? So it varies. And then somebody kind of combined your wife and my wife in a text by saying your wife should be happy that she has a guy that everybody wants, and that I should be happy that I have a wife that everybody wants. So I think she's saying, I think he's saying I'm ugly.
I'm confused.
Yeah, well, I think he's saying bad things about your wife and about me, that you're popular and likable, and that's why she should be happy to have you, that you're in demand.
She's in demand too.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking.
My wife is hot.
But I kind of feel like I'm getting the short end of this pecker.
I'm just saying, I didn't marry her because she you know could cook.
Guess who's here? We have not talked about Whitmire's in a while. Chris Whitmire himself is here from Whitmire's Distilling.
Howdy, howdy,
Houston, Texas.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. What's new up there?
Oh man, we just we moved into the new place last summer, and it's really just taken off. We've gotten a lot more events, and we've been hosting a lot of dinners on our own, selling tickets for that kind of thing, break even steak nights that have been real successful, you know, amid our regular tour business. So it's really, really taken off. It's a lot more comfortable as well. Air conditioning does that.
Yeah, I remember in the old place, there was a party we had there one night, and with the doors open, and it was summer, and it was just
miserable.
Yeah.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Drinking bourbon. Air conditioning makes it comfortable when you're drinking alcohol.
Well, I will say this. The alcohol we were drinking was so damn good, we didn't care. Yeah. But, no, it's a nice setup out there now if you haven't been there. And the tours are still on Saturday, right? You guys are still doing
those? Actually, we've expanded it. We're doing it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday now.
Oh, so. Wow. So. Damn. So, yeah, and the new area is nice, and they're having a lot of events and stuff. And we're actually having I'm looking forward to this mostly because I hadn't been to it's probably been a couple months since I've been up there. So yeah. I'm looking forward to getting back out there. But Saturday night, we're doing a poker tournament at the distillery at 6 o'clock, and there's still a few spots left. Just go to touchdownclub.org, and it's going to be a cool thing, man, because first off, we'll be at the distillery. We got Carbach. We've got we're going to have Damaris Barbecue, and there's a silent auction, and some of the stuff on the silent auction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, we're going to have to get together and make sure we don't bid against each other on some of this stuff.
Yeah. Maybe hide it.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Sorry. That one was $10. Yeah. I don't know what happened to it, but they got a football signed by Lamar Miller, a Dallas Keuchel signed Orange Astros jersey. Although I got to tell them how to spell Dallas Keuchel. It's not K-E-U-K-E-L. If that guy signed it, it's not worth anything.
Right.
Deshaun Watson signed blue Texans jersey, a George Springer signed baseball, a Nolan Ryan signed baseball, a Faisal Majama limited edition photo, DeAndre Hopkins signed helmet, framed Jose Altuve signed photo, and I might go for that one. Framed Earl Campbell signed photo, J.J. Watt signed photo, and an A&M football signed by Kevin Sumlin, which might become a real collector's item at the end of the year.
Yeah.
If A&M does not have a good year.
Yeah.
So all that silent auction stuff is there, and man, it's going to be a great event, and it's for a great cause, helping out the Touchdown Club. And the best part is, it's at the distillery.
Yeah, we're super excited. This is actually going to be the first poker tournament that we've hosted at the distillery. I know you and I personally have been talking about doing it for a long time.
Well, we did one little game at one of those.
That's true, yep.
Yeah. But that was more friends than anything. So this is pretty cool to get it to get this going, and I couldn't think of a better place to do it, and I will be getting out there so I can drink. I promise you.
That's awesome.
So you got Travis weighing in. He's dibs on all Nolan Ryan merchandise. I wonder if you could get a signed Nolan Ryan steroid needle. What do you think?
I'm pleading the fifth on that one, Fred. That's all you, buddy.
Oh, man. So you guys got any new stuff coming out, or is it?
Yeah, we're working on quite a few things that unfortunately I'm not at liberty to talk about, but as soon as I am, you'll be the first to know. We're doing a lot of things.
Tell me off air, can't you?
I can say we are making a push into the international arena at the end of the year, which is a big, big step for us.
Nice.
We're going to be actually going over to Hong Kong, so we're really excited about that and see if we can dabble in the international market a little bit. But local's still doing really well, and obviously it's got us where we are. So, can't be any more grateful than we are. So, but we've got my brother Travis. He really wanted to come. He's kind of the maestro. You know that he's the one that's always experimenting and making up different things. But he's working on stuff always, and we're really excited.
Does he wear a lab coat? He does that.
Usually just wears like a wife beater and basketball shorts, no t-shirt or nothing. Just kind of walks around making whiskey all day.
So. He's a freaking genius when it comes to this. I know he probably does this to you every day, but every now and then when I'm there, he'll just be like, "Here, try this." Oh wow, what is that? And it's like, just something I threw together. I'm working on.
Yep.
So and the single barrel I think is one of the best whiskeys you'll ever have.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of the barrel releases. Actually, this one that I brought you is a barrel 216, and it's a single barrel. And we've been doing a lot of barrel picks. A lot of the first bourbon that we made is obviously getting pretty old now, so we're bottling it up a barrel at a time and releasing it only out of the distillery, and it's really, really popular stuff. A lot of people come to get it. So I brought you all a bottle of it today, hopefully. We'll get to enjoy some here in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is the Blitz, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I was going to ask you because I know you guys have been at this now for how long? How many years now?
5.5 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And we still haven't had our 5-year anniversary party. September 2nd, we finally got a date. We don't have any clue what we're doing, but September 2nd, we're going to have our 5-year anniversary party. We
that's know awesome. That, so. You know, it's I've been drinking this stuff pretty much since the beginning, and I have to say, it's I'm so glad to see you guys just keep getting bigger and bigger. And I tell anybody this, and I have a lot of friends who drink vodka, and that's something. Space City is as good as you're going to find. And
absolutely.
I've talked them off a lot of other brands, and then they get mad if they can't find it.
Yeah.
It's like people getting mad at us when they can't hear the signal. It's like, but that single barrel is just fantastic. So,
well, thank you, Fred. I know you're definitely, you got a good opinion on it. I know an educated opinion on it. Let's say that. So.
Well, and I, if you haven't been out there, you need to go check out the distillery. You can buy bottles out there, correct?
Yeah. You can buy 2 bottles per person per month. That's the law in the state of Texas right now. And like I said earlier, we're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're also open for private events, whether it be a birthday party, corporate events, whatever. We've had a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And like I said, the new venue is really conducive to that kind of stuff. So we've had a real uptick in those.
Bachelor parties?
Yeah, really anything you want to do. I mean, we get a lot
bachelorette parties?
Right. Yeah.
If you want guest radio hosts for
there
that.
There you go. Got Fred on speed dial.
Yeah, but tell them how they can, if they're interested in finding out how to book something, what do they do?
Yeah, you can go to our website, whitmires.com. You can go to Facebook. We're pretty easy to find. You start typing Whitmires, it populates pretty quick. Same with Twitter, all the social media. You can also just give us a call. And I believe for our tours, we've got a Groupon running out there. It's been running for a little while. So if you want to grab up and save a couple bucks on a tour, you're more than welcome to hit Groupon. So.
And the tour's a hell of a deal. It's like, what, 10 bucks?
Yeah, you get the option to sample everything. We don't force you to, but it is provided.
These are blitzers, though.
We've had quite a few blitzers come out, and they usually stand pretty tall. It makes me proud.
So. Well, if you haven't been out there, this is a great, great time to come out of Saturday, because tournament will start at 6, and you'll have access to all of the stuff, and your entry fee for how much you guys drink and eat, that's going to cover it, and you might win a really cool prize and try to get out there and get in on some of these items in the silent auction, because that's just some great, great stuff there to be had.
Y'all open Thursday through Saturday, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'll be stopping by.
Yeah.
Work truck.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you, man. So.
And the bar out there is so nice now. That's the one thing that since they've redone it, I mean, that's when I love going out there and just sitting at the bar. And it's a really classy looking place where it's set up now. That's why I'm looking forward to having this tournament out there.
Yeah, we have a lot of high hopes for it. I think it's going to be a really awesome evening Saturday. And it's a good cause as well. So we're excited to be there.
Yeah, Touchdown Club, they take care of a lot of underprivileged schools. They get them money for weight rooms and uniforms and things like that. So, you're helping give back to the community, and you're going to have a good time, and you're going to be at one of my favorite places in the world. So get signed up now, touchdownclub.org. All right. Well, you know what? I think we need to pop these here.
All right.
And we'll have a little drink. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Oh,
to call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler, Jermaine Every today. See, I take care of my guest host. Getting the good stuff in here for you. Hope you appreciate just how good this whiskey really is.
This is some good stuff. I'm like, you know, like you were saying, it's like some of your friends drink vodka and you turn them on to Space City and whatnot. I like brown liquor more than I like clear liquor. And I like a good bourbon, a good whiskey, a good cognac.
I think that's kind of a racist thing.
Kinda. Not really. Because, I mean, I drink tequila. I like vodka, but I just like brown liquor more.
Yeah, I'm the same way, actually. But I've always said the single barrel is my favorite. And when they do these limited releases, man, it's just so good. You could still get, there's a couple bottles still at the Specs downtown. It's not the special release, but of just the, that's got the blue label on it. Mm-hmm. And it's worth every penny. This you have to get at the distillery. So go out to the distillery and play in that tournament Saturday, and you can try this stuff while you're there.
Trust me, it's worth the drive. It's worth the money you're going to spend on it. And my suggestion is, like Chris said, you're only allowed to buy 2 bottles per person per month. Go and get your 2 bottles, stash one away, hide it from yourself, and drink the other one.
Yeah, that's but see, they have so many other products that I like that the only place I can get them is up there. One of them is always this.
Yeah.
And then I get something else. So the Space City I've been able to get at most of the Specs, which works out great because the wife drinks that too, and you know, when the two of us get going, they don't last very long. So.
But see, you're lucky. My wife, she'll drink. She's not a real heavy drinker. She likes her little wine or whatever it is. And the only alcohol she likes is amaretto, maybe. I mean, my wife's not a big drinker, but I'm the drinker in the family. But, yeah. So, I guess I'm more lucky than you are then.
I don't know, man.
Depends.
We have a lot of fun. She's basically, we kind of have the same habits, but. Not necessarily in an awful way. It's just one of us. It's pretty rare when one of us is behaving and the other one's not. Because that just never works. Cause it always just pisses off the other one. So I told the story yesterday, but my goal for Sunday was recover from Saturday night because we'd overdone it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like she's such a bad influence on me at times because right about 9:45, it's like, hey, let's go get some breakfast. Let's go to that place that serves punch and start drinking again at 10 in the morning the next day, which is always, which if you, because she's like, look, I'm either hungover for last night or still drunk, so the only thing I can do is go drink more. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, you're such a bad influence, but I'm going. I'm in.
I can tell there wasn't much leg pulling.
And there was a Monday night a couple weeks ago where I was like, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm taking a few nights off because I got to run a long run on Tuesday morning. And she just had a bad day at work and said, you know, meet me at Neil's. And then that turned into one of those where, how do we get home? You know, it's like, no, I wasn't going to drink tonight. She goes, oh, come on, come meet me. Oh, okay. I'm like a puppy.
My wife almost, it's sometimes, but I have to ask her, she'll almost prefer that I have a couple of drinks and then drive because she doesn't like when I drive when I'm sober.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a long story.
I don't drive. Well, the thing is, I don't have to where I live. I mean, I don't drive anywhere to drink anymore.
Me either.
And really, I had a real bad experience about 4 years ago where I shouldn't have been driving, and I almost killed myself. And I said, okay, that's enough. Never again. And I haven't since. And that's why I know I'm going to be drinking at this, so I'm going to call my buddies to get me, and they're going to get me there and get me home and just do that.
Typically, it works out well for us because I'll drive to wherever we're going, and once I start drinking, she's driving us back home because she's not a drinker. She rarely will drink if she drinks anything. So it works out for me. I love it.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Boosh.
Boosh.
What's up?
Sports, boys.
Sports.
Hey, I got a question for you. I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I'm looking for a good value bet for a Super Bowl winner, national championship winner, and then I want to know what you guys think about the over-under on Dallas total games at 10.5.
Well, I'll start with Dallas. I think I got numbers about right. I think their range to me, the low end is probably 9. I don't think they're worse than 9-7. That's if they have a disaster.
Yeah.
Although, defensively, I'm a little concerned about them, but I could see them winning 12 or 13 games. I'd probably lean over on that, but it's not a number that I love.
The thing is with Dallas, the thing that mainly concerns me about their defense is their total lack of pass rush coupled with they have all new defensive backfield. So when you have all new defensive backfield and you have a problem generating a pass rush, your best friend is going to be that offensive line and your run game. So they better pray that they have another season like they had last year as far as running the football is concerned to help save that defense. 10.5, I take the over.
I thought you said 9.5. Oh, 10.5?
I think you said 10.5.
Yeah, that's not a bet I would play, but I don't mind it. I mean, if you stuck a gun to my head, I would take the over, but I wouldn't feel good about it. As far as Super Bowl futures, you know what? How about I answer that tomorrow when RJ's here?
Because that would be a wonderful idea.
I'm having trouble right now finding my list, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a much better question for tomorrow. So if you tune into tomorrow's show, Boosh, you probably get a much better, much well-informed answer.
Well, I just have to find, the numbers, but I'm having a hard time opening my website on it. So
yeah, because from what I can remember, I think the Packers were one of the leading favorites in the NFC to get there. The Patriots were the overwhelming favorite, but that's not a good betting.
Yeah, I think they're going to be very difficult to beat. But let's see if I can find them now. I hate when I don't have something right in front of me when somebody asks me, and then I can't find it. And I know RJ will send them tomorrow.
Yep.
But, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll find them in next segment. We'll talk about it. How's that? Because I need to see what the numbers are right now. Because we went through, like, all the odds to win the various conferences. Mm-hmm. And did that a couple weeks ago. I think it's interesting that we looked at the ACC, and like Florida State's a pretty heavy favorite there at +110. Clemson's +300. I think Louisville's got some value at +600. But yeah, this doesn't have the props I'm looking for, so I'll have to find those.
Honestly,
I do have some early lines though from some games.
The props are the best ones to bet on to me. like over and under of rushing yards, passing yards in the season. Will a certain team reach or make the playoffs? Different things like that. Win totals are okay, but I don't know. To me, I would typically try to stay away from as far as I can, unless I see something that just sticks out. And Vegas is too smart to let anything just stick out like that.
Well, but some of the individual props are really good to play, especially if you think a guy's injury prone. I love playing unders on guys that I think aren't going to last the season. And so I look at a lot of those. Okay, so here's the value as I see it, and I don't know how much value there really is. The Patriots are 13-4 favorites. They have the Cowboys as 9-1 second choice. I do not think there's good value in that, or the Falcons at 10-1.
No, I think Packers or Seahawks are much better.
Yeah, Packers and Seahawks are both 10. The Seahawks are the first team on this list, not named the Patriots, that I think there's some value in. And I think there's some value in the Giants at 16-1. And you want to dig really deep. Chiefs at 20-1.
What about the Raiders? Where are they at?
The Raiders are actually 11-1. They're right there at the top. So,
okay.
Your longest shots are your New York Jets and San Francisco 49ers. But, yeah, I don't have that 40-1 that I think, oh, this might be your real snake here. Usually one year there's one of those type of teams. The Ravens are at 40-1. Or 30-1, sorry. There might be some value in that, but that's as deep as I would go. I just don't think anybody's beating the Patriots this year.
Curious, where are my Saints?
Your Saints, oh boy, your Saints are 50-1.
Whew.
They're in a group with the Eagles and Titans or Lions. Excuse me, Lions are 50-1.
Man,
Miami Dolphins 66-1. Does that do anything for you?
No. I just don't. I cannot feel confident in a team that's quarterbacked by Ryan Tannehill. I just can't. I'm sorry.
I'm higher on him than, I mean, I don't think he's a great quarterback by any stretch. But
he's not bad, but here's the thing. He would need Jay Ajayi in that offensive line to turn into Dallas and Zeke Elliott for him to, like, perform well. I just don't think that they have enough of what it takes to overcome the Patriots. Playing them twice a year, you know, getting pummeled by them most likely twice a year, or at least trying to give them a game twice a year, is going to hurt them.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The dreams of a lighter, brighter day, solving world peace and collecting fat pay. But if
this is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Jermaine Every Fillion sharing drunk stories on the break here.
Yeah.
Couple of things, and Jay mentions that Ohio State, 8-1, decent number, should be undefeated going into the last game of the season. And Michigan should be in the Final Four. I like both those. I don't know if there's enough value in Ohio State for me right now.
And you know what else? In that Big Ten, there is always an unexpected upset. A team like a Michigan State or a Purdue or somebody who wasn't supposed to win, a Nebraska, something like that, or a Penn State. You know, somebody always comes out of the blue and upsets one of those two or top three favorites in the Big Ten every year.
But I am with him. I do like Ohio State. I think if you want to get into the deeper numbers, I don't mind Michigan at 14-1. I don't mind LSU at 16-1. I don't know what LSU is going to be, but if their offense is, and I like the offensive coordinator they hired, if their offense is really good and Orgeron just lets those guys do their jobs, I think LSU could be surprisingly good. It wouldn't shock me if they wound up sucking either. So
yeah,
I that's one of those teams, but at 16-1, you might see a little value there.
There's some definite value there. I think there's also some value in some other teams around the country that may come out of nowhere and shock you. Like, what are the odds on Michigan? I'm wondering where they're
14-1.
14-1. I thought there was going to be some value there. Of course, a team like Ohio State, there's going to be absolutely probably no value in teams like Alabama. A team like, I don't think Texas has enough right now, but I wonder what USC may look like.
Well, see, and that's I was liking USC a little bit, but again, for value purposes, they're co-second favorite right now with Ohio State at 15-2. Texas is 36-1. You know they were going to get they're ahead of A&M, who's 50-1.
That's going to be another point of contention between Aggies and Longhorns.
I don't know that either team is going to be good enough to be angry at the other this year. Although I think Tom Herman will have a good team. I just don't know if they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be there year one.
I think they're going to lose that first game against USC. I just can't see them coming in first game out the gate and beating USC, as strong as the USC team is. If they should happen to find a way to pull that game out, that could propel them for the rest of the season. Those are one of those kind of wins where you come out the first game of the season, a team like Texas, who's such a strong underdog and such a long shot odds at making it to the Final Four, win a national championship. You win that game, brand new coach, you galvanize the school, and it kind of can carry you, you know, through some of that season.
713-780-ESPN. And then I just wanted to – somebody tweeted this, and I thought it was an interesting question. It's a tweet or a text. Do you think if Altuve continues on this pace and gets the 3,000 hits that he could wind up being the greatest Astro ever? It's on that pace. There's no question at this point. And I was having this conversation with somebody this weekend about him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's clearly playing like a Hall of Fame player right now. And granted, it's easy to look at this ridiculous streak he's on where he's batting over 500 and get excited about him. But realistically, this guy throughout his career has been one of the best hitters in the league.
Consistently.
He's got batting titles, and if he's not winning batting titles, he's still hitting 320. And
Silver Slugger Awards.
He's just he's the best second baseman in the game. And one of the best players in the game, and he has been year in, year out. And I honestly think by the time his really cheap-ass contract expires, he's going to have pretty close to Hall of Fame numbers.
Here's the thing. If Jose Altuve doesn't even – if he stays an Astro, he doesn't even get to 3,000 hits, but he's the main cog in a World Series win.
That would help.
That automatically – puts him on the Mount Rushmore of Astros, in my opinion.
Well, but I think he's going to get to 3,000 hits in his career. And as far as best Astros, it's to me, it's Jeff Bagwell more so than Biggio. To me, that's your standard.
Right.
And
I think Craig Biggio got it because of longevity. As much as people around here may not want to admit that, he played for 20 years. He stayed with the same organization. You know what? He kind of hung on towards the end of his career because he wasn't an everyday player. They tried to play him all over the field, and it just wasn't working. He lost the athletic ability. He hung on long enough to get the 3,000 hits and endear himself to the Houston City fans. But like you said, Jeff Bagwell won an MVP. Craig Biggio never won an MVP. Jeff Bagwell was he hit for average, power, and drove in runs. Craig Biggio never really did any of that great.
And Bagwell was always in the conversation for best player at his position in the game. And guess what? Altuve's in and has been pretty much every year.
Right.
And been in the MVP talk. And Christina asks, when does he cement his Hall of Fame status? What more does he need other than a ring? I think a ring would help. I think an MVP would help. But he just needs to stay healthy for about 3 or 4 more years and put up the kind of numbers he's putting up. Definitely. And I think he's in.
I mean, he's 6 years in. He's 27 years old. Playing second base, he can play into his mid-late 30s. Let's say if he plays 10 more years, stays relatively healthy for at least 7 of those 10 years, he's going to get pretty damn close to 3,000 hits. I mean, he's gotten – this will be – I'm thinking he gets to 200 hits again this year. I want to say this will be his 4th or 5th consecutive season with 200 hits. If he can keep that up over the next, let's say, 5 years, that's another 1,000 hits. He'll be right at 2,700 hits. So, I mean, I think he definitely has a chance for 3,000 hits.
I think one of those things does it. 3,000 hits, an MVP, or a World Series ring. And if he gets 2 of those 3, dead mortal lock, in my opinion. And I love watching this guy play, and I think people should appreciate that this is what a Hall of Famer looks like. Now, he may not get there. I mean, right. He could get hurt, suddenly start hitting 170. I don't know.
Anything could happen.
But right now, in this stretch, yeah. I mean, he's just – consistently excellent and fun to watch play. And just when you look up at the end of the season, you're like, holy bleep, how good was that guy?
Yeah, he's one of my daughter's favorite players. And she's a short people rule. And I'm like, Madison, you're almost as tall as Jose Altuve. You're 11. Stop it. You're not short. But anyway.
I think it's something that people should appreciate, just how good Altuve and Correa are, both those guys. And we're just seeing Correa start to scratch. Well, we're not seeing it right now because he's hurt.
Before he got hurt. But also George Springer.
The year he's having, I still, to this day, if I can only keep two of them, it's the other two. Not a doubt in my mind. But he's having a fantastic year. I think he's having a career year, and he's turned into a really, really good player. And, he's one of the cornerstones here. But if you ask me, if I could only keep two of them, it'd be Correa and Altuve.
I would say so also. The main reason why I agree with that is because I feel like you can find a good outfielder that can play good defense and can do some things for you behind the plate.
He's given them an interesting dimension, though, as a leadoff hitter. And
here's the thing. When you're strong up the middle defensively in the infield, not just saying the center field, but when you're strong up the infield, in the middle of the field defensively, that second and short position, turning that double play, stopping those grounders and things like that, that's key. Covering center field, you can find a guy. Hell, Willie Taveras covered center field pretty good. He couldn't do anything behind, when he was at the plate, but could run the bases, but that was about it. That's if he got on base. But, I mean, you can find a guy who can play defense in center field.
When I was doing show prep today, Willie Taveras' name never even once came to mind as a possibility to come up on the show today. Well done, sir. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the gem of the day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jermaine Every joining us today. AJ, first day of his vacation. Hopefully he's enjoying it. All right. This story is just too good to not do. From Australia, so this is going to be your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I don't know if this is real or not. I did not get a chance to Snopes it, but it's from Barstool, so I'm going to give it some credence because usually they do check on them. We go to Australia, where a couple shot by police at a private swingers party while dressed as comic book villains, will launch a legal action against the police, seeking hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages.
Who are they dressed as?
Well, the Joker and Harley Quinn. Which, I want to be careful about calling them villains, because I can make a case that the Joker was the real hero of The Dark Knight. But, I kind of like Harley Quinn. They're just misunderstood. But the... Lawyers acting for 35-year-old Dale. Okay, here's part of the problem. When you get to be 35-year-old Dale Ewens and 37-year-old Zeta Sukis, you're too old to be dressing up as Joker and Harley Quinn. Can we agree on that, John? that's too old for those particular superheroes?
You can
be a fat Batman. You can probably be a Catwoman still, but you can't be those two at that age.
Why not?
It's too old.
How old did you say they were again?
35 and 37.
I don't think that's too old.
I think it's too old for those characters.
Maybe.
That's my humble opinion.
What if she's kind of, she's still got a, upper 90s, low 90s on a fastball?
Well, I'm not sure. Now, they're Australian too, so, those guys are different in a good way. But apparently, Mr. Ewens, who I'm assuming was the Joker, was shot multiple times in the back before he was tasered and assaulted by police.
Wait.
Didn't you get that backwards? Shouldn't you taser him first?
Yeah. Why would you taser him after you've shot him? And why would you shoot him in the back?
Well, he underwent emergency surgery to remove part of his bowel.
Oh.
And the woman is recovering from two wounds to her leg that required extensive surgery. The gun was a replica, part of a costume, won by Mr. Ewens, who was dressed as the Joker. And Suki's came as Harley Quinn. And
did she get shot, too?
Yeah, she got shot in the leg. Apparently, fake guns were just part of getting into the character at the adults-only parties. I'm pretty sure he put the toy gun in my mouth while we were having sex, she said.
Oh.
Okay. Well, there's a lot going on here. Swingers party. Did they go together and have sex, or did Joker see Harley Quinn and say, hey, I think we should hook up. I'm going to put a toy gun in your mouth, just so you know. But apparently, the police were called, and when they came, they mistook it for a real gun. And that's what happened.
Who called the police is what I want to know.
Well, that's a good question.
See, I have questions about when I hear these kind of stories. Like, I don't just look at the story on the surface. I kind of, like, where did she get shot and who called the police? And, you know, did you not hear the police burst in? Was the music too loud? I mean,
Well, yeah, I have never been in this position, but if I were having sex with Harley Quinn and the police came in, I'm pretty sure I would stop and make sure I wasn't holding a toy gun. That's why I'm skeptical about this story.
There's just so many questions I have about this. Okay, why would he have the gun in her mouth? Like, that's...
I don't want to get into the visual of where things were going in this thing, because, you know, there was another gun involved in this. It had to be somewhere.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's what was happening here.
Maybe she had not going there. Nope.
No.
Is he gonna have to wear a colostomy bag? He got his bowel removed.
I don't know. It doesn't go into that kind of detail, but they're suing the cops. I have mixed feelings about this. For one thing, yes, would I like to see a Joker and Harley Quinn hook up? Yes. Probably not 35 and 37 year olds, but that's okay. Do I want to see a gun involved? No, not really into that. Gun props, even if they're fake. But what are the police doing there? I mean, if this is a swingers party, unless they were doing a drug raid or something, which it doesn't say, what the hell were the police doing coming in and interrupting their swinging?
There's just so much about this that's wrong and weird and everything else.
You know what? I should have saved this story for Beth. That's what I should have done. Because knowing Beth, she would tell me how this was perfectly normal behavior and healthy for you.
I wonder if she's ever been a part of one of these things where the police raid some kind of weird party that she's having.
I bet she hasn't, but I could almost be willing to bet money she knows someone who has.
Oh, that's like, what are the odds of that? Minus 10 million? Exactly. that she knows someone that has.
Oh yeah. she has some interesting friends, to say the least. But hey, you run a shop like that, you know, you run a boutique, then
yep,
people. You're gonna meet normal people like me, and then you're gonna meet really weird ones
like John.
Two at once says gun in the mouth during sex reminds me of the Sopranos episode. God, I'd forgotten about that one, mainly because that was Tony's sister, right, that was doing that? Seeing her, just as I recall, just seeing her in a sex scene made me want to throw up. But regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
It's another lawsuit story that I thought was kind of weird.
There is no smooth transition from that story.
Well, I'm just moving on to another lawsuit.
So. Hey, there you go.
So this kid lost both his legs below the knee when he was run over by a train in March. And 4 months after he was released from the intensive care unit. He is suing the operators of the train that allegedly hit him, which sounds okay. But he's already racked up more than $200,000 in medical bills. Ole was walking along the train tracks with earbuds on March 2 when he sensed but didn't hear a train approaching behind him, his mother wrote on his GoFundMe page. His lawsuit claims the train did not have a properly functioning front-facing camera, preventing the engineer and conductor from seeing. You know where I stop? I'm sorry that you lost your legs and you were in an accident, but if you're walking on a train track wearing earbuds, if I'm the judge, that's where your lawsuit ends, right there.
Yeah, there's no need to call witnesses, no need to hear testimony. Wait, your client was doing what? Yeah. So you were walking on a train track, number one. Number two, you had on earbuds.
Yeah.
I don't care how, you could have on the best earbuds in the world and have the music cranked up to a million. You should be able to hear a train coming.
Yeah.
You should be able to feel the vibration of the train track.
Yeah, you would think. Well, he sensed a train. Well, maybe if he, I'm off wearing earbuds, not on a train track. Just public service announcement. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That's 2 hours in the books already.
By the way, it's not now past 5:45, and Carmelo hasn't been traded yet.
No, it was 5:45 Eastern, so we're...
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay, so we're well over.
Yeah, we're more than an hour over the Carmelo deadline that doesn't exist. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.